What's up, everyone? This is John Wood of the Football Pick'em Podcast, and you're listening to Dave in the City on Locks of the Week Radio.
Coast to coast, internet sports talk, Locks of the Week.
Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Let him play!
Yeah, everybody have a show today. We had snow today, show today, show tomorrow.
I don't know if you want that on your credit card bill. You know, saying the WWE network on it. I mean, like,
your dad would look at that and be like, Dave, you have something to tell me?
That's the story that they still play.
It's unbelievable!
You have your LeBron in the play. It's like, do you really care about the James Jones at the end of the bench for the haters?
Maybe the board, the MikeFrancesa.com, was just ahead of its time.
Pioneers.
Exactly, yeah.
Pioneers, if you will. Yeah.
We listen to this guy sit at a desk, picking his teeth every day, and all the dumb stuff he does. But it's not like we're changing the dial. We like Mike. You know, we hate Mike, we love Mike, all that back and forth.
Bingo.
Unbelievable.
The San Antonio Spurs, Dave. What do they say about him?
They're boring.
They're boring!
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big college football bowl preview show. It has come to this. Many weeks of college football are in the books, and now the games truly count for one undisputed championship. For many, some TCU fans and Baylor fans may not feel that way right now, but nevertheless, the bowl season begins this weekend, so we are here to break it all down with you tonight with our special panel, which features a panel that you've gotten to know throughout the course of the season, the Kids Club. They are all scheduled to join us tonight. Ron in New Jersey, John in Connecticut, say hello to Oatman, and Andy in Seattle, with special guest Tom in New Jersey joining us for some bits and pieces of this bowl preview. In this affair, we will each share our favorite bowls, up to five favorite bowls that we have from the bowl season that do not include the New Year's Six, which are the golden traditional games. I'm sure you know them well. The Orange Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Peach Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, the Rose Bowl, and the Sugar Bowl. I think I did six. Peach, Fiesta, Orange, Cotton, Rose, and Sugar. Quite a collection of bowls coming up on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And those will take place over the course of basically 2 days. And it's New Year's the way it used to be. You know, the biggest bowls are all on those nights. You know, the New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. And two of those games will be the college football playoff that we long had clamored for, and here it is. That playoff features, you know the names by now, but they feature Alabama against Ohio State in one game, the Sugar Bowl, preceded by the Rose Bowl with Oregon and Florida State. Some very exciting matchups, although both matchups right now have the favorites favored by 9. Alabama's a 9-point favorite, and you also have Oregon, a 9-point favorite, and some people may disagree with that. Some people would agree with that. But anyway, those are going to be your stepping stones towards a true championship game, which will be the next week from Arlington, Texas at AT&T Stadium. So, just to recap, we have our Kids Club tonight. We will do our five favorite bowls. Then we'll have our five bowls that we wouldn't even watch if they were played in our backyard. Abysmal bowls, our least favorite bowls, will also be included in this tally, up to five from each of the panelists tonight. Then we will break down each of the New Year's Six bowls, so the aforementioned Rose, Cotton, Fiesta, Peach, Sugar, and Cotton. And then we'll maybe get a look at the BCS Championship games. And in our next hour, after all of that, at 11 o'clock, we'll do the Kids Club picks, which include four bowl picks and two NFL picks to round out our contest this year. And in that contest, we'll give you the standings in a bit. But basically, two guys tied for first place, and one man just close behind. That's John. Ron, a little bit behind him, but Otis and Andy at the top at first place. So let's start our program tonight. John will be joining us in a few minutes, and Oatman may join us at the top of the next hour. And I'm pretty sure that Ron will be there with us, although I haven't heard from him yet. But it's only a matter of time. But let's start with the man who is on the air with us, and that would be Andy in Seattle, ready to join us to blaze some bowls. Andy, how's it going tonight?
Oh, chilling out, man. I'm going to blaze the bowls. Got some hockey on the internet we're keeping an eye on. Got Golden State looking like shit on the TV against Memphis. And we're going to talk some football. I'm a little... is this a two-hour show tonight?
It is.
Is it 2 hours?
2 hours, yep.
Oh, okay. And then it sounds like you have enough content for like a nine-hour show. But
I know.
We'll see if we can get everything squeezed in. That's what she said.
Absolutely.
tonight.
Should be a fun affair tonight. Thanks for joining us, Andy. All right, so let's get our next guest on the air. He is Ron in New Jersey, back with us. Again, you know him as the master of the draft. Yeah, he certainly is good at evaluating NFL prospects from college football. So let's bring him back. Hi, Ron. How's it going tonight?
What's going on, fellas?
Hanging in there, buddy.
Just getting ready to have a good time.
I love it,
Ron. Two-hour show, huh, Dave?
Yeah, 2 hours. You know, because remember last year... We tried to fit it all in 1 hour. We couldn't do it. And we just ended up getting over, and I think Junkie's phone drowned or something, and then we just decided to fill up the other hour, and we figured that the two-hour slot's going to work because we just have a lot of content to fill, so many bowls to cover, a lot of storylines. This is the best time of the year for college football. I mean, it really doesn't get much better than this. Some great games, some terrible games, which are coming up, but... All together, it's going to be pretty interesting. So, with the two of you on, let's start, Ron, with your thoughts on the upcoming. Well, first of all, we didn't really get a chance to chat with you about the top four. We talked to Andy about it a little bit. But do you think that TCU had a case to be in that top four? Hello? Hello? Uh-oh.
Yeah, Dave.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Do I think TCU deserve to be in the top four? Sure, but I think they got the top four right. I think the reason why a lot of people were upset with it was because they for some reason they decided to put TCU at number three the week before the conference championships games, which made no sense to me, you know, to have them jump Florida State. But I think in the end they got it right. They did say one of their requirements was going to be, you know, week by week analysis, you know, by viewing the games, you know, keeping an eye on the games and watching it, you know, real time, just like, you know, Mongos like us. And it's hard to argue against Ohio State after they demolished Wisconsin. So I know TCU fans are probably, you know, a little heartbroken, but I think they got the top four pretty much right.
I think it's really hard to go against what Ohio State did. I think if they had, like you said, if they had just not moved them up so quickly, there probably wouldn't have been as much of an issue. But, you know, we mentioned it already. It's been mentioned before already. TCU's still going to get a pretty good bowl. They will end up in the Peach Bowl against Ole Miss, who, even though they lost Treadwell earlier in the season in that game against Auburn, that's still a pretty good defense. So I think that's going to be a pretty good game, and we'll see how it goes. So now let's bring in our third guest of the hour. Tommy's not here, huh, Andy? I thought Tom was going to join us. What is... A little Heyman or something got stuck or something. I don't know.
Maybe he got the element of surprise. He's zigging when we thought he was zagging. I don't know. I know we thought he was gonna be here. We're waiting. Let's go. Gotta go. But I don't know. I haven't heard from him today.
Okay.
Hope he's okay.
We need a roll call.
We do need a roll call. So we'll get Tommy in if he does call in tonight. Let's bring in our third guest, though, who is confirmed, and that would be John in Connecticut. John, welcome back to the show. How is it going tonight?
Doing great, Dave. Thanks for having me on again. Exciting point of view with the bowls blazing starting on Saturday, which I'll have a couple contests going, the candle scenarios. So plenty of fun things going on for the bowl game. We're looking forward to it.
Absolutely. It should be a fun time. So just to recap the format, again, it's similar to last year. I'll give each of you a chance to reveal your five favorite bowls of the year, up to five. If you only have, like, two or three, then you can do two or three. Non-New Year's Six, so anything before, basically most of the ones before January 31st, and then the couple or so that are in between, you know, your college football playoff games and the other two NY6 games. So up to five of those. And then as you suggested last year, John, we will do our five. We wouldn't watch the game if they were played in our backyard bowls, the most Sheeran bowls of the schedule. And you can do up to five of those too. But we'll break it down. First, we'll do the favorites, and then we'll do the Sheeran bowls after. Always enjoyable either way. So we'll start with Andy. Let's get right to it. So it's a very loaded schedule. It looks like they added three bowls this year. We have, I believe, 38 bowls this year. Last year was 35. I mean, how can they keep adding bowls? Well, they're running out of teams. They're gonna have to get to FCS teams. But anyway, let's get to it. What do you see on the schedule that you like in this bowl season, leading up to those New Year's Six bowls? Your favorites from the bowl season.
Am I supposed to? I'm listing my five like under the radar / like juicy games that I personally think are juicy, or is that what we're doing?
Let's do that. I like that. What games do you see that you feel like that could get really juicy and maybe not a lot of people are looking at it early on, you know?
Okay, well, it's hard not to be all about me in this instance because everyone's got different tastes and dislikes and interest, and some people have different plans on Christmas Eve, but I'll try to keep it somewhat simple, somewhat concise, but it probably won't be simple, it probably won't be concise. The first game that I think is intriguing that no one with a rational brain will think is intriguing is Fresno State Rice. Christmas Eve, Hawaii. Get ready, sit down, get your present wrapped, eat your ham, or whatever you do on Christmas Eve, but get ready. And maybe pay attention a little bit in front of your TV set, ESPN, 8 o'clock East Coast time. Hawaii Bowl, Honolulu. This is a game that, it's Rice and Fresno State. I don't know who's been watching them all year long. I know I haven't seen too much of either team, but I've bet on Rice a few times, bet against Fresno State a couple times, and I'm curious to see what Fresno State will do because the past 2 years, they have gone to the island of Hawaii and just laid two consecutive eggs. The first game was against SMU. The second game was against USC. And if neither of those games have anything to do with this future game, but in my demented mind, I think they kind of will. So it's just one of those games. You know, I've always been a sucker for the Christmas Eve bowl game, you know, it's been in different formats. Notre Dame's been in it. Sometimes they used to have two games on Christmas Day, but now the tradition is just Christmas Eve. And, you know, you spend some time with your loved ones. It might even be the ninth night of Hanukkah that doesn't exist. But in either event, it'll be a good game just to keep your eyes on for a little bit. Another game that might be somewhat under the radar is the Boca Raton Bowl, Marshall, Northern Illinois. You know, Northern Illinois has played the role of somewhat Cinderella. They went to a BCS game a couple years ago. I think they got killed by Florida State or Florida. I forget who it was. But they are the kings of the MAC, and people on this program love the MAC for different reasons, and they're playing a team, Marshall, in the beginning of the year. I think Ron somewhat called it that Marshall could have this dream season, and they have no one to blame but themselves. Don't give up 69 or 67 points to Western Kentucky in the last game of the year, and then they probably would be playing in like a Peach Bowl or a Fiesta Bowl or a Cotton Bowl or something like that, but they didn't. And so they're just sent to basically no man's land in this Boca Raton Bowl. But it's funny that they're paired up against Northern Illinois, team that's
you know, they're used to seeing 11-2 next to their team in the standings. So I don't know how motivated Marshall will be. I think Northern Illinois will be a little more even keeled about this game, but that's a juicy game that maybe the casual college pigskin fan will not realize at first glance. Another game that is somewhat intriguing, I'd be curious to see if LSU pounds Notre Dame into submission. You know, this Notre Dame program, it's really funny. I mean, you have these guys thinking that they're entitled to a top 10 spot year after year. They get every game on NBC. If they're not on NBC, they're on ABC. If they're not on ABC, they're on NBC, vice versa. And it's not the Stone Age anymore. We're not in the 60s. Notre Dame has, you know, we talked about it behind the scenes last week. When's the last time they had this a great quarterback? You know, they're not as good as the Mongo Notre Dame fan thinks they are. And it was 3 years ago or whatever, and our buddy Mike Francesa was like, there's no way they're going to play a game in Hawaii. They are too good to be playing bowl games in Hawaii on Christmas Eve. Of all the nights to have a bowl game, Notre Dame is not going to whore themselves to a game in Hawaii and play this bowl game on Christmas Eve. But you know what? They played the bowl game on Christmas Eve. And last year they played in the Pinstripe Bowl against Rutgers. So I'm sorry. This Notre Dame team, year after year, can get all the accolades and, oh, they're the best five-loss team in the country. You know, it's only the, you know, I know I'm just beating a dead horse and it's, you know, we get it. We get it. Only Notre Dame. But it's, they're paired up against the school that they always have 1,000 players. They've got the really, I mean, Les Miles is just a, it's hard not to like the guy. He's eccentric. He's a goofball. Sometimes they win despite his antics, but you know they always have good teams year in, year out. Be curious to see if, you know, he ends up leaving from Michigan, but you hear that rumor every year basically. But that'll be a intriguing game, and I guess, well, I won't mention that game because it's technically one of the Big Six. I will mention the Alamo Bowl because it's not one of the Big Six, but it's an intriguing matchup with Kansas State and UCLA. You know, Kansas State, they're just a steady team. They basically mirror their old, I won't call him decrepit, but he looks decrepit, their coach. You know, he's just, he's thick and thin. Snyder is just there. They don't wow you, but they're always there on top of that Big 12 standings. You know, the Big 12 standings, the conference gets knocked because they're too flashy. They only care about offense. They have zero respect for defense. And Baylor and TCU, well, Baylor usually is the model of that example. TCU only this year because their coach was always a defense-first guy. But, you know, Kansas State is almost like the contrarian team in that conference because they're not plotting offensively, but they're just very steady, long drives. They're not their own worst enemy like some of the other schools in the conference. Just, you know, steady as they go. And they're paired up against UCLA, a team that had much higher expectations going into the season. And, you know, they just never really seem to get it all rolling aside from the ASU game. And they've had chances to somewhat, you know, turn their season around at a couple different points in the season and just never do it. And, you know, but it's still a pretty, you know, whatever the stage is below premier bowl game, this is it for them. And I would favor Kansas State in this matchup just because it's Jim Mora. And Jim Mora, I don't know, I wouldn't trust Jim Mora in a bowl game that really doesn't matter for the school or the players. You know, you think Hundley wants to have a good game to go out. That may be the case, but I don't know. They didn't look good in their bowl game last year under similar circumstances.
They didn't. But that is, yeah, I don't know what to do with UCLA. That's why I'm intrigued by this game too, Andy. I really think that Kansas State will probably have the better motivation going into this matchup. UCLA season, I'm sure we all agree here, it's been a pretty big disappointment. So, but at any rate, that's a good one to watch. All these were great recommendations. I really liked your pick of the Rice Fresno State game, because that might match up well. That could be a good game. I like that one too. So anyway, thanks for those recommendations, Andy. Let's go to the others on the panel. We now go to Ron in New Jersey for your favorite bowls or underrated bowls that you just think are intriguing to you. You're up to five favorite games. You don't have to do five, but as many as five if you have them on you. So, Ron, your picks for the non-New Year's Six bowls.
Well, I'll start with the first bowl game of the season in New Orleans, Nevada, and Louisiana Lafayette. I always think it's got to be a cool atmosphere. Bourbon Street rocking with the hometown team. Two intriguing teams. Nevada's on like their sixth or seventh quarterback of the year. But we followed them all year, and, you know, they have a really sick defense. And, they they're coached well. They play well. They just couldn't get over the hump in a few of the games. And Louisiana Lafayette was one of those teams that was supposed to come out of the gate this year and have that slight outside chance of making some noise, maybe cracking the top 25, and they laid an egg the first few games of the season, just looked horrendous. But they managed to turn it around, and that's definitely an intriguing one to start the bowl season. Like I said, I know some people think New Orleans is dirty and filthy city, for youngin. But I always think that atmosphere is cool for a bowl game. It's got to be a pretty cool place to see a hometown team play in one of those games. Another bowl game, one of my favorite bowl games since I was a kid, for some reason, has always been the Holiday Bowl. I like the idea of San Diego, a game in San Diego, really, it's set aside by itself. It's never been played always in between Christmas and New Year's. It's always the primetime game. Always have good matchups. And I like Nebraska and USC. I think that's pretty intriguing. Nebraska getting rid of Bo Pelini. I just saw a news thing that he's the new coach at Youngstown State. So, geez, talk about a downgrade for somebody. Holy cow.
I know. It's not even FBS, right?
You figure he would have swallowed his pride and taken a defensive coordinator job somewhere. But, my God, I think it just reinforces what everybody saw, the past few years, that he's just a mongo. He's a delusional mongo who somehow managed to win eight games a year, but my God. I think that matchup's pretty intriguing. Are you going to that game, Dave?
Yeah, I am. I have tickets, and our friend Kevin in Torrance, otherwise known as Floyd Merriweather, is scheduled to go with me, so we will take the trip down there and check out SC versus Nebraska. Looking forward to it, and see Abdeem Madula. Raheem Madula, I think I can't pronounce it correctly. But he's a great running back, so I'm looking forward to that matchup against the SC defense. Leonard Williams, and all the regulars and the offensive side. It'll be fun. I don't know who's going to win that game, but it'll be a good time. So, yeah, I'll be going to that one.
Yeah, I'm jealous. Two of my favorite players to watch this year are Amir Abdullah, the running back on Nebraska, and Al Ghoor, the USC wide receiver. So even if you get a bad bowl matchup, as long as there's a couple guys you can watch and pay attention to, I think it's pretty intriguing. So I like that bowl a lot.
Yep.
Another one, trying to think off the top of my head. After watching the second part of the Miami documentary, the 30 for 30 on ESPN, I'm actually pretty pumped for the Independence Bowl with Miami and South Carolina. you know, there's a lot of history there with Spurrier and Miami. And I think one of the cool things, at least for me, about the Bulls is, you know, looking at the prospects for next year. And, you know, next year is going to be a make-or-break year for Miami, for Al Golden. You know, he can't keep going 7-5, 6-6 there. So, yeah, I definitely think it's an intriguing game to see how the freshman quarterback responds in his first bowl game. And, you know, I'm a big fan of Spurrier, so that'll keep us in the loop for that one. And the only weird thing about that is that it's, I think it's sponsored by the Duck Dynasty guys, right? Like the Duck Dynasty Independence Bowl this year or something like that.
Duck Commander Independence Bowl. I guess it's a
yeah,
duck.
Yeah,
yeah.
Their company.
That is kind of odd. But...
Yeah, it's weird, but it should be a fun game to watch. We always love the Spurrier faces, and it should be a good one.
Good stuff. All right, so was that it for your was that it for your recommendations? Because that those are good ones.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think so.
Quickly, any comments on the Andy's favorites? He had the Alamo Bowl, the Music City, with Notre Dame and LSU, Hawaii, Boca Raton, and I think that was one other. What was the other one? I have it here. What am I looking at? I said Hawaii.
I think all I talked about was the Kansas State UCLA.
Oh yeah, yeah, Alamo Bowl.
Northern Illinois Marshall.
Yeah, that's a good game. I'm looking forward to the Boca Raton Bowl. I really am. I think they're two good teams. It's interesting to see who turns out for that bowl actually. And yeah, I think it's actually being played in Fort Lauderdale or something like that. So. Might see Gator on TV.
True story.
With a Jets jersey or something.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's a game definitely I want to see. And yeah, he stole my thunder with that LSU Notre Dame game. I think LSU, like again, I think they're going to be a really good team next year. And be interesting to see how their freshmen play in a big time game against Notre Dame. I think LSU is going to kill them.
You know, I can't disagree with that, to be honest. And I wouldn't even say to be honest. I just can't disagree with it. So good stuff there. Andy, your thoughts on any of Ron's bowls? Any comments on the games he mentioned?
First, I have a missive from that fraud, Tommy. he is not coming on the show tonight. He says he's not interested in hearing about games that he wouldn't watch in his own backyard, although I love all these games except for a few of them. But he's just illustrated how much of a fraud he is. He's always asking about participation and we should do this and we should do that. And he had a chance to come on your show tonight and be a pulse. You know, he loves being that pulse and telling us when we can be on limits and off limits, and he can, you know, come March and April, he'll be the Rangers' biggest expert and fan. He knows how to fix the Knicks in 10 seconds, but he's illustrating how big of a clown he can be. So that's him in a nutshell right there. He's not going to partake. But listening to Ron's games, yeah, I agree. I do like all those bowls. And, you know, I just have a soft spot for the Spurrier Bowl game, too. I do think Miami might end up having their way with South Carolina this year. In the past, with those Spurrier teams that haven't really panned out, you know, when he first came to South Carolina, he had a lot of 7-5 seasons, a lot of 6-6 seasons, and they had some really bad bowl games. You know, Papa John's against UConn, they did not show up for that game. Birmingham, Alabama, it was cold for South Carolina standards, and they did not look good. Another game against Missouri, and that might have actually been an Independence Bowl, too, and they didn't look good. That was when Missouri had Brad Smith, former Jet. So, now Spurrier, when his teams are motivated, they put on good shows. When they're not motivated, when they have bad defense, they tend to lay eggs. But maybe he can pull out something for Miami because, you know, the whole Florida you know, the state of Florida might, you know, go through his bones. But no, that's he had a good rundown.
Good deal. And so now let's turn to John in Connecticut for his thoughts on the aforementioned bowls. Any other comments you wanted to add about what we've covered so far?
Yeah, well, you guys did a great job there. I actually took some of the game balls I mentioned. I was going to mention that Kansas State-UCLA game. I am in agreement with you guys. I think Kansas State wins that one. And if you look at their three losses this year, it was to Auburn and then to TCU and to Baylor. Obviously, you know, three of the best teams in the country. And you can just see Jim Moore not getting them ready for this game, especially after they had everything right in front of their hands. That game against Stanford, and it's completely laying egg, and I can see them kind of doing the same thing here. So that one's definitely an interesting one to watch. I agree on the Marshall Northern Illinois game. I'm pretty surprised that said it's 10. I thought that was going to be around like 5 or 6. I think Marshall's getting way too much respect for beating up on Conference USA. We'll see about that. There's some other games that you guys did not mention. The next game on the fourth Saturday of the Bowls is the Utah-Colorado State matchup. It kind of loses a little bit of luster because Colorado State coach McElwain is obviously born from Florida, and I think I can say that many of us called it on the board that he was picking a big job, and that's a good fit for Florida. I think they got some fucking nice coach there, but so they had an unbelievable offense with Grayson, their quarterback. If you ever watched this team, Colorado State, Grayson, the quarterback, Richard Higgins, the receiver, leads the country in receiving, and their running back, D. Hart, looks exactly like Eddie Lacy and runs just like him, just a big physical runner. And they're going up against a Utah team that was kind of pesky all year in the Pac-12. So that's a really good game out in Vegas. I'm looking forward to that one. A sneaky game on Monday is a new one, the Miami Beach Bowl between BYU and Memphis. Memphis is 9-3 and won the AAC this year. Very underrated team. BYU is always solid in the bowl game. So that's at 2 o'clock on Monday. So you know, I'm sure many people aren't going to be doing much work on that day, so come on to Miami Beach Bowl at your office. So that's a good one. And then Andy mentioned the game on Christmas Eve. We actually had another bowl on Christmas Eve earlier in the day, the Bahamas Bowl. And this is actually a pretty good matchup. You mentioned that Western Kentucky team that beat Marshall. They can just put up a ton of points. Their quarterback, Dowdy, had like 45 touchdowns this year, which is unbelievable. And Central Michigan had a good offense too, so there'll be plenty of points in that game. So if you guys want fun, that'll be a good one to watch, as well as the the Liberty Bowl between Texas A&M and West Virginia. Holgerson was kind of someone's disciple, or the other way around. Oh, yeah, I think Holgerson coached under someone, and now here they are facing off against each other. Kind of a clown card game, but super training, again, pretty entertaining. Two bad defenses versus two really good offenses. So I guess those would be my recommendations. Besides the games that you guys already mentioned, so there you go.
Not bad, John. Interesting that you're in on the Popeyes Bahamas Bowl. Central and Western Kentucky was the team that beat beat Marshall in that final game of the regular season. So this will be an interesting test. This will be a nice capper to what seems to be a pretty good season for the Hilltoppers. And I don't know if
Western Kentucky's a decent team. They had Illinois beat about week 2, week 3 of the year, and they foobarred it up. They're a good team, the high octane offense.
Yeah, and then, you know, one guy on that.
Funny, Dave.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sick of this kind of thing. This is actually a rematch of the Motor City Bowl from 2 years ago.
Wow.
And I know. And I want to say Western Kentucky won that one. I don't remember who won. All I remember is I lost my bet. I know Western Kentucky had an interim coach because their coach from when I went to South Florida, the guy who dogged with in his living room, I think his name is Willie Taggart. Yeah, that's the guy. And so Western Kentucky had an interim coach, and I think they lost. And I don't remember. I have to look it up, but I know they played in the bowl 2 years ago. And the game's at noon on Christmas Eve. And no one is either working or, you know, we go to church, our family, like 4:30. So it's the perfect thing. You watch the game, go to church, come back, and then you watch the Hawaii Bowl. So you got a full day planned on Christmas Eve.
Nice. Yeah, this does look like that's a pretty good schedule. If you've got a low-key Christmas Eve and it's really the place to be. And, you know, it's good that you have some decent matchups this time around. Maybe not necessarily for the casual fan, but for those of us who followed the sport all year, this is definitely a treat. Really, this is a very interesting year. I mean, a lot of bowl matchups, which actually have at least a little bit of juice, so it might be tougher to find the Sheeran wouldn't watch it in my backyard bowls, but let's give it a try anyway. I've got a couple on my mind that I can cite if anyone else doesn't cite them up before me. So we'll start. Ron, you do a great job with the spot. What are your most Sheeran bowls of the bowl season? You can do as many as five.
Pinstripe Bowl, the Pinstripe Bowl, the Pinstripe Bowl, the Pinstripe Bowl, and the Pinstripe Bowl. I mean, is there a worse fucking bowl in the world? I mean, Jesus Christ. Can we just do away? And you know what's the worst part is we're going to have a spot with James Franklin and whoever the goddamn Boston College coach is with Mike Francesa, you know, a week leading up to the game. Good God, could you find two worse teams to want to? You know the game is bad when Boston College is the high-powered offense of the two. What the fuck? I mean, come on, man. All right, and you knew all season long that they were going to look for a matchup like that because in some way the Pinstripe Bowl they have sway, you know, they the Jeter leaders, you know, they're behind the scenes, you know, got to do it for the captain, get two teams in there with the Northeast ties and Penn State and Boston College. Who the fuck wants to see that? I mean, unless you're one of those Penn State. Weirdos singing Christmas carols outside of Joe Paterno's house while the guy's dying inside. Who wants to see that fucking bowl? It's hard. Excuse my language, Dave. I know, you know, that's
now, language is allowed on this show, so you don't have to worry about that. I mean, maybe there's other places where it's a problem, but I'm just teasing.
I mean, it could be in my backyard, you know, and I honestly would not watch that game. And they're just two terrible teams. Actually, Boston College isn't bad. I shouldn't say that. Penn State is like watching paint dry this year. Holy Christ! Ooh. Christian Hackenberg is horrendous. He I've never seen somebody regress the way that he did this year. They shouldn't be in a bowl. You know, they're lucky that they are, and you know, that's the matchup that we got. That's one of them, and I guess you know, most of the other ones are watchable. I would say this: Illinois and Louisiana Tech. I think it's a joke that Illinois is in a bowl. I mean, they're good God, you know, 6-6 in a terrible conference. Can you name one person on Illinois? I feel bad for Louisiana Tech actually, because they you know, they're kind of fun to watch, but Jesus, Illinois? I mean, you couldn't find anybody. You couldn't pull out, you know, Alabama or Birmingham before their team goes under to throw them in a bowl. You got to put Illinois. I don't know. That to me, that's another unwatchable one. But yeah, besides that, I think most of the other ones are at least, you know, on the surface watchable. But those two just. They jump out at me.
I love it, man. So for the second year in a row, Ron shits on the Pinstripe Bowl, but for good reason. This is, I love it when you rip that bowl. That is the best.
I will tell you, you know, I'll make the prediction next year. The game is going to be Maryland and somebody else because they'll do whatever they can to get one of those god awful East Coast teams into that friggin' bowl. You know. Yeah. If George were alive, it would be different. But
oh man,
yeah, I don't, can't stand it.
That's stupendous. All right, so now let's go to John for his thoughts on the Sheeran bowls of the bowl season. Let's have it, John. Take it away.
Yeah, Penn State versus BC was on my list. Now, let me preface it by saying that, you know, we say I wouldn't watch these games. You know, you wouldn't watch these games in your backyard. I likely will torture myself and put on Penn State and Boston College, even though the final score in that one would probably be 14-10. And You know, it'll be called majestic, tough, hard-hitting football. I don't know, it'll just be a complete and utter bore to watch that game. But, yeah, Ron's right. That is just a brutal matchup. Some other ones here, like, I hate to pile on the, you know, the lower-level teams because they don't like, you know, they really don't get much exposure throughout the year. So probably the sheerness bowl of lower-level teams is that South Alabama versus Bowling Green game. South Alabama is actually their first ever bowl game, so they're going to be pretty hyped to be there. But in terms of the matchup itself, there's really not much going on there. 9 o'clock on a Saturday night, that's degenerate gambler territory right there. So really the two games that I wanted to point out are between these middling qualified teams that just don't inspire anything, and that is this Arkansas-Texas game. And I've seen about every ESPN commentator cream their pants over the past week over this game, and I don't understand why. Two 6-6 teams that Arkansas needed to have a miraculous finish over the final month of the season, and everyone's pounding their chest, oh, Brett Bielema is getting this program turned around, blah, blah, blah. I saw some cool bag was going to even vote them in the top 25 after they beat Ole Miss, and they were like 6-5 at the time. I mean, come on. Just such a joke. And then Texas, and then their quarterback, let's just say there's a few knives short of a full set, if that makes any sense. But that guy swoops, if he's their quarterback of the future, they have some problems. They're just getting all nostalgic over the rivalry because they're used to getting the Southwest Conference together, Arkansas and Texas. And sure, if you want to, if you're Cletus in Alabama or Texas and, you're 50-something years old, sure, you might be into this game, but I'm certainly not. That is just a brutal game, in my opinion. Another game, of course, your annual Tax Slayer Bowl between Iowa and Tennessee. And this is just, I don't even know what to say about this. Because, again, Tennessee 6-6. Oh, Butch Jones is turning around the program. Only in the SEC you go 6-6. Literally no one, and you're turning the program around. Just brutal. And then, of course, on the other side, you got Kirk Ferentz, who, I feel bad for Iowa fans because I saw that his buyout for his contract is like $20 million or something. We can't get rid of this guy for like another 6 or 7 years. So they have to look forward to the Tax Slayer Bowl every year for eternity. It's being in purgatory if you're an Iowa football fan. It's ridiculous. But that game, I don't know if I'll watch this one because you could be playing that one in my backyard, and that game just is absolutely nothing for me. So those would be my cheering games at the bowl season that I have little to no interest in.
I love it, the stadium is not contributing to this matchup. They're going to play that thing at Everbank Field, the home of the Jacksonville Jaguars. There's just no juice in that matchup whatsoever. All right, let's go to Andy in Seattle and see what he has for the most sheer bowls of the bowl season. Andy, it's all yours. Take it away.
Yeah, I'm going to just expand the scope a little bit here because John and Ron basically took all those games to the woodshed very, very good. And having said that, you're still going to watch them. You're going to at least be somewhat invested in them. I think everyone here is in some sort of contest, bowl pick 'em, spreads. There'll be some money on the line. So you obviously you're going to be like, well, who won between BC and Penn State? You're still going to want to find out who won the game. You might not watch it all 3.5 hours or whatever, but you'll still be paying attention. But yeah, the Ron killed the Pinstripe Bowl. John pointed out all the low lights of that Bowling Green South Alabama game. Bowling Green wasn't even like the fourth best team out of the MAC in South Alabama. It was 6-6 in whatever conference, the Sun Belt, I think. So, I mean, there were a bunch of other 6-6 teams that they could have picked, but they didn't. Dave, you're like, why are there so many bowls? I know there are so many bowls, but like there are still, like, for lack of a better word, snubs. Some teams still feel like they got snubbed. Illinois wasn't one of those teams, though, unfortunately. I think you could have So Iowa and Tennessee is awful, okay? And that is like you feel like some of these games, the well, it's not a committee. It's just, I don't know, a bunch of old white guys that are like, we'll put this team here, this team there. Like, that is a fucking troll job by some old white man. It's like, we are going to match up Iowa and Tennessee. Like, this is your typical Saturday at noon game. Doris Burke, that type of – like, there's a reason why not a lot of people know much about Iowa, because every game they play was at noon on Saturday on ESPNU or something. And that's just an atrocious game. You could have pulled – you could have – just for miserable sake, or, you know, just like you love punishment, here's the game for you. Illinois versus Virginia Tech. Oh, too bad they didn't make that happen. However, the consolation prize isn't that bad. You're getting Cincinnati, Tommy Tuberville, and Frank Beamer, Virginia Tech. I think it's the Military Bowl. Here's what I'll say about Frank Beamer. My God, he's gotten so much mileage off his reputation as being a special teams whiz. He is the freaking Howard Johnson of NCAA coaches. Once upon a time, I guess Howard Johnson was really nice to go to. Like, my dad, like, when he grew up in the 60s, his family, like, oh, a treat for them would be going to, like, Howard Johnson's or, like, the A&W stand, and, you know, they get a nice meal, like, great burgers and fries and a root beer float. Well, where is Howard Johnson today? Like, are they even in this? Do they even have restaurants anymore? But it's just like the luster. Like Frank Beamer is a Howard Johnson. Like, he's such a has-been, and his teams are so gross. So that's one game that is super shern, but you still need to break it down. Like, you still need to formulate some sort of opinion, like make a case for Cincinnati or make a case for Frank Beamer. I hate Frank Beamer, so with how many bowls there are, 39, like, it's all in the regular season, you can kind of have your head take over the heart when you're making picks, but with the bowl game, sometimes you just have to go with your heart. And so this one, I'll have to take Cincinnati. You know, Arizona Duke, that's not a sharp game. It's actually a pretty intriguing game. But I will stand by my I hate Todd Graham in January or late December and take Duke, even though Duke's looked bad a bunch of times this year. But I'll stick by my, you know, no Todd Graham wagering rule. So since John and Ron mentioned, like, a bunch of, you know, I wouldn't watch these games in my backyard, these other games that I'll mention are half that and then half, like, I want to hear these guys' thoughts on the game, because I have no clue which way to go. And that first one would be the Armed Forces Bowl, Houston-Pitt. Like, I don't know, how do you break that one down? how about Buffalo Wild Wings Citrus Bowl, Missouri-Minnesota? I know Missouri can look really good, and then their quarterback, Mock, I'm just calling him Bunk because he's just like the best. When he's at his best, he's just basically just chucking it up in the air. But on paper, you would think they should have their way with Minnesota, you know, SEC versus Big Ten. But I really don't know much about Minnesota because they played a lot of 9 a.m. games out here. And their coaches are like, he gets a seizure like every 3 weeks or something. Like, he could literally die like on any given day. I'm not trying to be like, oh, that's off limits. That's actually, like, the truth.
Yeah, it is.
And then the other game that I was like, how are we gonna break this one down? Like, Rutgers, North Carolina. Who's stopping who in this game? Like, North Carolina has no defense. You know, Rutgers has no defense either. That's poo versus poo. But one team is giving three to the other team. So in this instance, it's like the opposite of the NBA All-Star game. I'll always take the underdog because it's the best versus the best. I'll take the best that's getting points. Same thing with poo versus poo. Like, I'll give me the turd that's getting points, and we'll see what happens. And that's Rutgers. Rutgers getting three. So we'll probably take them. The other game I have, so I'm just rambling here, but so be it. There's a theory that I like to instill with, like, triple option teams. If they're playing the bowl, I'll take the team that's not playing. I'll take the team that's playing the triple option because they have 4 to 5 weeks to prepare for the triple option as opposed to week in the regular season. I'm very conflicted with Georgia Tech because they've covered like 7 games in a row, but I'll bet against them, so be it. But the Navy-San Diego State matchup and the Western Michigan Air Force matchup, both those games, sure into the casual fan, but I'm curious to hear like John and Ron's thoughts on those games because those are really hard games to break down. Both point spreads are really slim. And Air Force kind of runs like a modified option now. They actually like throw a little more than they have in the past. But those, God bless you if you can break down those games with confidence.
Yeah, this is I'm intrigued to hear this too at this point, especially the thoughts on the Navy game, because Navy runs a similar style offense too. I think you mentioned that already, but similar triple option. They're known for it, really. So let's start. We'll start with John. What do you think of these other games that Andy mentioned? Navy, San Diego State, Rutgers, North Carolina, where did I put the number here? Oh gosh, Missouri, Minnesota, yeah. And Houston, Pitt. So your thoughts on all of those?
Okay. Well, actually, Dave, two of those games will be in our pick segment, so I'll save my thoughts on those. Little bit better breakdown. But yeah, I agree with you on, I hate to say it, but I love Rutgers in that game. North Carolina, that was another team that was a huge disappointment this year. I thought that they could win that division, and their defense is just absolutely miserable. And I hate to say it, but Gary Noble is going to have a good game. And it's just going to come down to who stops who more. And I think Rutgers will do that and get a bowl win. They have a slightly better defense, and that's what it's going to come down to. So I'll go with Rutgers getting the field goal in that one. The other one, Andy mentioned, Houston Pitt. Literally, that is on the confidence scale, from 1 to 39, I think it is. That is my number one game, in terms of I have absolutely no clue either. Because, how do you evaluate it? Both teams losing their head coaches. The Houston guy resigned, and they actually just hired their new coach, the offensive coordinator from Ohio State, Tom Herman, which is a really good hire for him. But still, he's not going to be coaching this game. And Pitt, they lost their coach, Paul Chris, is going back to Wisconsin. I had no idea why. The guy is 6-6 every single year. That's such a huge mistake for Wisconsin. But in any event, he's not going to win this game. So what's the motivation angle in this game for either team? And then when you go to break down the game, Pitt's got their unbelievable running back, Connor. At the same time, their defense is horrible. And so Houston should score some points, but at the same time, Houston's defense isn't that great, and Pitt should run the ball. I've just been rushing my brain trying to figure out this game, and at this point, I just might just flip a coin. Maybe just go with Houston because the game is being played in Texas. I have no clue on that game. So, I'll have some thoughts on the Navy game and the Missouri-Minnesota game when we do our pick segment.
Okay, very well. So let's go to Ron for his thoughts on the aforementioned games that Andy suggested. The two close-to-call games, so we'll run them down again for you, Ron. Navy-San Diego State, Rutgers-North Carolina. We have Mississippi State at Georgia Tech, Missouri-Minnesota, and Houston versus Pitt. All right, Ron, how would you play these games?
Well, first of all, I'll jump on board with John. I like Rutgers a lot. They're an NFL football factory in Piscataway. They're just churning out NFL player after, at least that's what I've been told. Rutgers is churning out the NFL players. Alabama, Eddie Lacy, What a disappointment. What a disappointment. The guy's not averaging 6 yards a carry in the NFL. What a waste. Good God, people. but seriously, Rutgers actually played North Carolina a bunch, right when Schiano got hired and they were just starting to turn the corner. They had a few home-and-home series, and Rutgers always played them tough. And they, you know, say what you will about them, but they do tend to show up in bowl games. We remember a couple years ago, and they always seem to get the worst locations. They're playing this game in Detroit. You know, and I asked that a couple weeks ago, well, what, is that the worst location for a bowl game? You know, like, kids are all excited, you know, we're going to a bowl game, you know, where are you going, where's the bowl game, you know, Florida, you know, California, Hawaii, Detroit. Yeah, we're going to go to Detroit. And, I mean, Jesus Christ. And a couple of years, they seem to always get these games. A couple of years ago, they played that international bowl that lasted 2 years, I think, in Toronto. And I have friends who went. Who the fuck wants to go to Toronto in December to watch a college football game? I mean, come on. But yeah, I think Rutgers will win that game. I like them in that game. The Minnesota game, I actually got drawn into a couple Minnesota games this year. I think they're a pretty under the radar team. The coach is a weird guy, man. Like Andy said, you know, he's not weird till he gets seizures, but the last game I think they played in a blizzard, and he's on the sideline eating an ice cream bar for some godforsaken reason. You know, hopefully somebody YouTubed it, and we'll play it back and put it in high def, and I don't know, but yeah, I think they're a pretty good team. They move the ball pretty well. They have a decent defense, and Missouri's so hit or miss. You know, I played them a bunch at the beginning of the year because I think they're really underrated. You know, their lines were just some strange lines. I think they played Tennessee and the line was like 4 or 5, something like that. I mean, they're better than that, but I think, you know, in a bowl game like this, I think I would tend to go Minnesota. I think Minnesota will be more up for the game. I'm with John and Andy. I have no idea what to make of Houston and Pitt. I'll be honest with you. I haven't seen Houston this year. I saw a little bit of Pitt, and they're every Pitt team for the past 15 years. You know, they're run the ball, and after 4 hours go by, the score is like 16-13. You know, I have no idea what to make of them. And the other game, what was it, Navy and San Diego State? You never know how a team's going to defend that triple option from Navy. They run it well. You have to give them that. And you always have to wonder if they're going to have a letdown after the Army-Navy game. You know, they get so jazzed up for that. Now they got to fly across the country and play a well-rested San Diego State team. I don't know what to make of that game. I guess I'd lean a little bit towards San Diego State, but it's anybody's call.
Does San Diego State always get that game at home? It seems like there's like one bowl where the home team, or it's like the Hawaii Bowl usually, but here I.
Yeah.
What's that, John?
Yeah, it's Hawaii who always plays at home if they make a bowl. San Diego State, actually, the last couple of years, they played in the Potato Bowl last year, and then the year before that, I believe they played in the New Orleans Bowl, so.
Oh, okay.
They don't always get that. Yeah.
Good deal. Couple other notes regarding. This is really a Sheeran point, but. For many years in recent history, we've known the Capital One Bowl as the precursor to all the big bowls on New Year's Day. Usually it would follow the Rose Parade on many markets who televised it. And it changes its name back to the Citrus Bowl. It is now the Buffalo Wild Wings Citrus Bowl, as I think Andy alluded to. And the reason why it changed is because Capital One moved up. They upgraded to the Orange Bowl, and they are now the sponsors of the Orange Bowl, which is coming up, and it will feature, you mentioned it already, Miss State and Georgia Tech. So congrats to Capital One for moving up, but that was a fun bowl. It still is. Citrus Bowl tends to be a little sneaky, and so we'll see. I mean, Ron may have been on to something with Minnesota, so it'll be interesting to watch. Okay, well, we've arrived at that time. before we get into Kids Club picks, let's get to the New Year's Six. And I don't know, just quickly, quickly, are any of you using a New Year's Six game in your predictions, like in your bowl picks?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
I am not.
Okay. Anyway, let's run them down anyway. So the New Year's Six, here we go. We'll do them in chronological order. We will start with the Fiesta Bowl. No. We'll start with the Peach Bowl. Excuse me. That's a little earlier. So the Peach Bowl had been on at night a lot of years. And since the new format with the college football playoff has the games going basically back-to-back, New Year's Day, New Year's Eve, these games come on a little earlier now. So it will be Ole Miss against TCU, two teams that had a real shot at that national championship but missed out and lost that one game in a critical spot. And in Ole Miss's case, it was more than that. They lost Treadwell, which really ended their season for real. But it's an interesting matchup anyway. TCU is a great team. I'd like to start down the board. We'll start with Andy. What are your thoughts about the Peach Bowl?
Okay. Thoughts on the Peach Bowl. I was looking at some other stuff on the internet, like the 2003 Hawaii Bowl. Don't ask. I was in a little vortex. But the Peach Bowl, yes, this is TCU Ole Miss. I don't really know how much gas is in the tank of Ole Miss. You know, they beat Alabama in October. Katy Perry, literally. I really think the entire campus and team, figuratively and literally, maybe blew their load that night after beating Alabama. And, I mean, after that, like, right, Mississippi's burning. Mississippi's the talk of the college pigskin. Mississippi State was really good, too. It was like, oh, the epicenter of college pigskins in Mississippi, of all places. And I think a little air just started slowly just getting deflating that Mississippi balloon. And, you know, they've had some close calls the rest of the way. You know, after that Alabama game, it was like, well, we still haven't seen Bad Bo Wallace. And, you know, then they lost on a weird way to LSU. The next week they lost a shootout to Auburn. And then they hit rock bottom against Arkansas. And then the Egg Bowl, which kind of lost its luster, they righted the ship with the Egg Bowl. But at that point, I don't know what Mississippi State's motivation was from that respect either, besides, you know, beating their in-state rival. So for 20 years from now, I think we'll be like, oh, Ole Miss had a great season. And, you know, they arguably made history by upsetting Alabama and, you know, Katy Perry. You know, everyone was going to remember Katy Perry going on College Game Day because they just will, because it's Katy Perry. And I think TCU, they got shafted, arguably. You know, some people, we could discuss this for days, whether or not they got shafted. It depends on your viewpoint, you know, Ohio State or TCU or Baylor. Only one of those teams is making it. And it's easy to say, well, TCU got nothing to play for. They're not going to be motivated. And they very well might not be motivated. They might have their C game. But my point of this ramble is I think their C game will still be enough to take care of business against Ole Miss. Their quarterback, just very underrated, under the radar. I don't know if it's a system thing because he puts up prolific numbers. They just pitch and catch really well. I still really can't comprehend how they've gone from just defense first. And I know Andy Dalton was there, but he still was kind of wasn't anything special at TCU, in my opinion. And they didn't really light up the scoreboard with him either. But this year, they've lit up scoreboards. And last year, they were like 4-8 or something. But their offense was like their bright spot. So I just think even if they give a C-C effort, they should be able to take care of a business against Ole Miss. You know, Ole Miss, going into this season, like, well, they could be good, but they've got Bo Wallace, who's a loose cannon. And I don't think their offense has enough firepower at this point in the season. So I would lean towards TCU in the Peach.
All right. So let's move it to Ron for his thoughts on the Peach Bowl and your prediction. Your thoughts, Ron.
Yeah, I actually agree with Andy. I think I like TCU in this game. I think Mississippi's got too many injuries on offense, and TCU has something to prove for getting shafted out of that fourth playoff spot. And, I think when Bo Wallace is bad Bo Wallace, he's really bad. And I think TCU has a chance to make him look really bad. And to be honest with you, yeah, I would rather have the TCU quarterback Boykin. I think he's more of a playmaker. I think Bo Wallace has been a totally different quarterback ever since Treadwell got hurt. So, yeah, I like TCU in that game.
I like it. All right, so let's go to John. Your thoughts on the Peach Bowl.
Yeah, we'll make it 3-for-3 here, Dave. I like TCU in this game as well. I definitely think there'll be a chip on their shoulder in this game, especially because Baylor moved past them, too, in the final rankings, and they're going to want to prove that, hey, you know, you guys had us ranked 3 the week before the final, the final game. We won by 60 points, and then we're not in the playoffs. And their offense, I think, is just too prolific for Ole Miss, even though they do have a really good defense. I just don't think that Ole Miss is going to be able to keep up. Brad Bowe will get in the mix a couple times, and I do think TCU is going to win this game. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, we're all on the same page here, but I definitely like TCU to win this one.
You know, I think I'm going to take TCU, too, so I'll make that 4-for-4, so who knows? Now watch Ole Miss will win back 30. But let's go to the next bowl in our New Year's Six, the Fiesta Bowl. Boise State at Arizona. This is an intriguing one, so I will give it to Ron to give us the first word.
I like Arizona in the game. I think they actually had I think Rich Rod had that team playing at a high level all year, and if a couple things broke right in that conference championship game, they could have made more of a game of it. Oregon was giving them every chance in the world that first half, failing to get into the end zone, basically, inviting them into the game, and they couldn't take advantage of it. But Boise, to me, this year, Boise State hasn't been Boise State. They're good. They're not great. They're in a New Year's Six Bowl because of a lack of another team to take their spot. I think Colorado State was actually the better team in the WAC this year, but Boise State makes it, and they always get up for these games, but I think Arizona has a legit team this year, and I think I think they'll win the game. I like Arizona.
All right, Andy, who do you see in that game? What are your thoughts in the Fiesta Bowl?
I lean very slightly towards Rich Rod. It's a I see it being a high-scoring affair. Boise State's been at the Fiesta Bowl before, but they don't have demons there because I think that was where they executed that hook and ladder all those years ago against Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
But that has nothing to do with this game. The thing is, Arizona had a great season, very good season. We took them a lot, so the chances they had to turn it to a great season, they kind of just tripped over their own legs. USC, and that UCLA game, they have no one to blame but themselves in that game. And then again, the Oregon game, as Ron mentioned, that first quarter, the door was ajar for them. They just didn't do it. But then they also had games that you can make case that they shouldn't have won, like that Washington game. They beat Washington because Washington decided to run execute a running play when all they needed to do was take a knee. They ended up fumbling the ball, and Arizona won. And then that crazy game against Cal in, like, the middle of September when they won on a Hail Mary. So they've had a very entertaining assortment of games this year. And if you're a defensive purist, you don't like them. But if you like watching a lot of exciting plays up and down the field, then you tune into Arizona. And Boise State, and Ron said it, and I think John will echo it too. Like, we want to see Colorado State come out of that Mountain West Conference, and it just didn't work out for them. And, you know, they're there every year, Boise State. We see them all the time, either Friday nights at 8 o'clock or Saturday nights, and it's cold. They're playing in Reno. They're playing in Boise. I'm just sick of seeing Boise State. And they're not vintage. You know, last year and in previous years, they've had good defense. But this year they've had games where, when the first time they played Fresno State, they should have blown them out of the building. They let Fresno State hang around. This is a bitter. Someone had Boise State giving a lot of points that night, and Fresno State nibbled. And, you know, they played a game against Reno. I think they gave up, like, 46 points. And that's – I can't take them serious. Actually, Nevada is a common opponent between Arizona and Boise State. I think both those – Nevada played both those schools tough. Not that that has anything to do with the – Fiesta Bowl, just pointing it out. But I would take Arizona, but not, you know, not with like a 10-unit play or anything like that. This is like, there's a gun to your head. You need to make a decision. I would take Arizona.
All right. Let's go to John for his thoughts in the Fiesta Bowl and your prediction. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, this is a tough one for me because, I don't know, I don't entirely trust Rick Rod to get them ready for this game. Especially after playing in that Pac-12 title game where, assuming they had won, they probably would have moved up into the playoff, you know, assuming all the other results held. So, I don't know. I don't think Boise's that good. I mean, I saw them firsthand play at UConn this year, and the fact that UConn could have beaten them, I mean, they were down, you know, it was 24-21 early in the fourth quarter, and UConn had the ball before we predictably imploded like we always do. But I mean, they really they did not look good against us, and they didn't look good against their head coach. Like 40-something points to Mexico, and they had some really weird games. They quarterbacked had like 6 interceptions versus Air Force. I mean, they're just a really, really odd team. I mean, they won a lot of quick plays with their new coach. I don't know. This is a tough one for me. I guess I'd lean towards Arizona just because of the talent gap and the schedule that they played. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Arizona kind of laid an egg and Boise won. So I'm kind of pulling a front pressure there with both sides. But under my head, I'll go with Arizona too, but certainly not a high unit play as well, just like Andy mentioned.
All right, so another triple checker and a checker on the Fiesta Bowl. Everyone taking Arizona. I don't know. I think I'm kind of with Andy in this from a standpoint that Boise State has a little bit of magic in them. And how deflated will Arizona be after getting shut down by Oregon? I think I'll take Boise State in that game. I'll be a bit of a... I'll have to double-check on my confidence pool thing to see where I have it, but that's my lean now, but we'll see. Okay, so now Orange Bowl, Mississippi State, Georgia Tech. All right, so you've got a team with a triple option. Andy mentioned it. They've covered 14 games in a row. Mississippi State really was very close to getting that undefeated season, but then... A&M, of all teams, ended up taking that away from them. And then they finished basically with at least two losses. And so here we are with this matchup. Two teams, I don't know. I mean, I think their offenses are all right. I'm not going to say any more. Let us now go to John for your first word on the Orange Bowl matchup, Mississippi State, Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I went back and forth on this one, too. Because I think Mississippi State's been pretty overrated all year. The wins that they had early in the season over LSU and A&M and Auburn really didn't turn out to be as great as, you know, they were made out to be at the time. The defense is pretty shaky, especially their pass defense, but the good for them, obviously, is a good type one that heavy option game. I like Andy's point about teams running the option and having more time to prepare. I know he's bet against Georgia Tech in bowl game the last couple of years, and that's certainly worked. They averaged like 10 or 15 points less in bowl games than they did during the regular season. The problem is they've been a hot league covering these games, and I do think they'll score some points, but at the same time, you watch the ACC title game. I mean, their defense is not very good, and one thing Mississippi State does do well is run the ball, especially their, you know, that reaction that they do with Prescott and Robinson. So they're going to score some points, too. I think I saw a line with 7.5. If we're going by purely spreads, I'll take Georgia Tech to cover the spread. And I guess I would take them for the conference points, too, because you can't be rooting against yourself like that. You know, one team with the spread and the other team to win the game. So I guess I go with Georgia Tech with very minimal confidence to win the game outright, but I do think they can keep it within the touchdown. It should be a pretty exciting game, actually, for New Year's Eve. You know, high scoring. So Mississippi State wins, but I think it'll be close.
Yeah, I thought that Mississippi State had a good defense this year for the first part of the year. I'm kind of in the middle of that now. I'm not really sure. I'm not really quite that adamant about that statement anymore. So let's go to Andy for your thoughts on the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, we all love taking Georgia Tech for about 2 months straight, 2.5 months. They've had a great season. But ACC sucked, right? Like, that was a narrative all season long. ACC sucks. ACC sucks. Ooh, Georgia Tech might even get to a BCS game if they just take care of business, and they did. And, Mississippi State, I'm gonna chant my little SCC here. I just have to. It just comes out sometimes. And SCC over the ACC in this particular matchup. And the thing with Georgia Tech, I think Mississippi State will be able to score on them because their defense is pretty piss poor. Even some of their blowout games, they've given up a bunch of touchdowns. But the thing is that if you're a Georgia Tech fan that you worry about is once they get down two scores, it's danger zone for them because they run that option and they don't, you know, they can't just pitch it up and down and have quick scores. It's everything's easier for them when they're ahead, and when they're down two scores, it's really hard. And so that game against Georgia, the rivalry game, they were hotly because I'll take Georgia Tech. I am worried, and I think Georgia, there's one other game before that game started that basically made Georgia not as motivated because they were eliminated from SEC championship play, but they were up 7-0 almost instantly. It's like, oh, here we go. This is the bloom off of, is it pumpkin time for Georgia Tech? And they were about to go down 14-0. Georgia had the ball on the one going in for another score. And then they loafed it. Georgia Tech recovered it. And then they scored. And that just made everything, back to square one. And it was a grinder. And Georgia Tech ended up nibbling in overtime. So the key is, if Mississippi State goes up two scores, I think Georgia Tech will be in for a losing battle, no matter how good the effort is. But I'm not, they still had a really good season. They saved many a day with the gambling scenario because there have been times like, go 2-3, but if Georgia Tech didn't bink, then you're 1-4, and that makes a big difference. So I am, even though gambling gods don't exist, I am still being thankful to the Georgia Tech gambling gods because they were kings this year. But I'm going to have to go against them this time, unfortunately.
All right, so that's Andy's pick. Let's get Ron's opinion on the Orange Bowl. Ron, it's all yours.
Yeah, I hate to make it a triple checker on checker again, but I do, too, like Mississippi State in the game. I think for a large stretch of the season, they were probably one of the top two or three teams in the country. And I find it hard to believe that just because there's been a you know, a 2-3 week break that all of a sudden they're not going to be able to play against Georgia Tech. So I think they'll be able to maybe not completely handle the triple option, but at least withstand it. And I think, like Andy said, once they go up, you know, 10 points or more, it's going to be hard for Georgia Tech to come back. So Mississippi State in the game.
All right, so Mississippi State getting some confidence from our kids club tonight in our look at the New Year's Six in our bowl preview podcast. It's been a fun show so far. Now we get to the big three, and we start.
I think John actually liked Georgia Tech in that one.
Oh, he did. John?
That yeah, time? I do like them to cover, so I'm not going to go against myself and take them. You know, take Mississippi State to win the confidence points and Georgia Tech to cover. So, you know, I do think Mississippi State probably will win. My official selection will be I'll take Georgia Tech.
Okay. That seems reasonable. We'll go ahead and go with it. So I'll switch you over to GT, and away we go. So Cotton Bowl up next. This is an exciting looking matchup on paper, offense versus defense. For me, it seems like many times when you see offense versus defense, the defense tends to win out. You know, give you an example. Washington played Cal. Cal was a high scoring offense. Jared Goff and all that on a roll. Washington shut them down. So I mean, that was just a good example of where I am with that. I like Michigan State in this game, so that's my feeler for it. Let's go to Andy now for your look at the Cotton Bowl. Who do you favor in this one?
This was a tough one. It's very intriguing. This is a really intriguing, juicy game. Michigan State just always seems to be in these good bowl games, and I think you can go one of two ways. I'm not to sound like Mike 44 here, but do you remember, I want to say it was like 2010, maybe New Year's Day 2011, Michigan State got killed by Alabama in a bowl game. John has a really sharp memory. Do you remember that bowl game?
Yeah, it was like 49-7 or something. Alabama just killed them.
Yeah, what was it like? Was that like the Citrus Bowl?
Yeah, I want to say it was the Capital One Bowl, which I guess is probably not a Citrus Bowl. Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay, yeah, because that game, like, I think Michigan State must have had an identical record as they do now, like, you know, 10-2 or something like that. And now Alabama, on the narrative, is like, oh, they're not going to be that motivated. But being a Saban Mongol, I took Alabama, and they basically embarrassed Michigan State. But after that, I think Michigan State's had some success with the Bulls after that disaster. So in the back of my head, I worry, like, is Baylor going to channel their inner Alabama and just embarrass Michigan State? Because they've been so steady this year, except when the wheels fall off. And I am sounding like Mike 44 here, but they had Oregon. They had Oregon not only beat, but like not only covered, but they had them beat in the year. And they just, the wheels came off. Like, I don't know, maybe with like 4 minutes left in the third quarter, they just laid a total egg. And it's not in their DNA recently to get tight, but they got tight and they really screwed it up. And then the other time, the game against Ohio State, when Ohio State turned the ball over, and Michigan State was up 7-0, and then they got the ball back with great field position, and they did nothing with it. And then Ohio State had a really good second quarter, and all the house money that they could have got was gone, and Ohio State ended up winning that game. And so that's why Michigan State is where they are, and that's a decent reason why Ohio State is where they are now. But I think their quarterback's good, Cook. I think he's back again next year. They're very steady. I'm gonna lean with Michigan State here. For all the prolific style points that Baylor put up this year, Bryles kind of lost me throughout the year because just like all those last time interviews, he just channels his inner McConaughey and he's like, "We'll be all right. We'll be fine." He's like, "What a Because what adjustments? Because we don't need adjustments. I just believe. It's like, okay, like, you know, every score is like 59, 52, like 51, 43. Like, come on, man. Like, how about a little defense? And, I mean, he has amazing confidence in that offense. I mean, Petty just throws. He doesn't care. But there are times throughout the year where, like, they don't look lost, but they just look – whatever the opposite of crisp is, that's what they are. But they just – you know, these college games are so long, they just have an opportunity to turn the ship around. I think the key for Michigan State will, you know, ball control, but not be like three yards in the cloud of dust. I think their offense is better than that. And I think I'll be anti Baylor in this game, and I lean Michigan State. I think if they can control the tempo and not channel what they did against Oregon, maybe that Oregon game will be a lesson. You know, study what you did or what you didn't do in the second half against Oregon, and then, you know, and finish the job this time.
I like it. All right, so Andy goes with Michigan State in this affair. Let us now go to what do we have here? Well, let's go to Ron. Wait, let's go to Ron for your thoughts on the Cotton Bowl.
I'll take Baylor. I think it's a close matchup, but for some reason, I think as the year went on, I actually saw Michigan State defense get worse as the year went on, and you know, not come up big in big spots. You know, a lot of key third downs they couldn't stop, and you know, Connor Cook is a good quarterback. The offense is steady, like Andy said. But yeah, I think the defense has been suspect as the year went on, and another factor I think is Bryce Petty's been hurt the entire year, and I think, you know, with a little time to heal up, I think he'll be ready. I think, you know, I like Art Briles a lot. I think he's a really good coach. You know, sure, he doesn't play defense. You know, one year he will, and they'll put it all together. But they sure are entertaining, and I don't know. I kind of like Baylor and in the Cotton Bowl in Texas against Michigan State with a defense that underwhelmed this year, in my opinion. So I'll take Baylor.
All right, so let's give it to John for the tiebreaker. John, who do you have?
Yeah, I'm going to be with Andy on this one. I'm going to go with Michigan State. I just think they're so well coached for these type of games. I think Briles, and I do agree, he's an excellent coach as well. I mean, he's made Baylor into a national, you know, top five team every single year. That's just an amazing job. But I just don't like the way he was kind of politicking and taking shots at everyone left and right after the games were announced. And I think that's going to hurt them. I don't think, as opposed to TCU, who were really classy about the whole situation, and, you know, Gary Patterson accepted it and moved on, as we like to say, and they'll be ready for the game. I can see Baylor kind of having a little letdown about being snubbed, and certainly Michigan State is going to show up for this game. I think they can have some success on offense. Andy kind of broke it down. And I just think, you know, that's the main reason why I think they're going to win this game, is that I don't think Baylor's head is going to be into this one. So getting Michigan State in the Cotton Bowl, this should be a really good game. All the New Year's Six, really, the playoff committee kind of lived up to what they should have been doing. I'm trying to get some great games over the New Year.
I agree with that, John. I like every one of these matchups so far, including the two that are coming up here in our preview. We now enter the college football playoff. And although both of these matchups have teams favored by 9 points, it still figures to be a very, very exciting game in both instances. We'll start with the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all. Florida State against Oregon, where, for some inexplicably, Oregon is favored by 9. That seems like a lot. Let's give it to Ron in New Jersey for the first look at the Rose Bowl game.
Yeah, you know, obviously, with the way Oregon's been playing, you would probably favor them, but I don't know. Something about, you know, people writing off Florida State a little bit. You know, Mariota's got the Heisman hype behind them. You know, Florida State, it's just been such a weird year. I mean, Winston definitely regressed, even more so as the season went on. It seemed like they're winning in spite of him. And, you know, Oregon rose to the occasion. You know, they've had games where they don't look like a powerhouse. I mean, even, you know, I hate to harp on it again, but the first quarter or so against Arizona, that Pac-10 championship game, I mean, they were laying points. You know, they were leaving points on the field. They were kicking field goals. And, you know, you do that against Florida State, and I know Florida State's been behind in most of their games for the whole year, but you do that against Florida State, and, you know, Winston, you know, the Winston magic shows up, the Winston of last year shows up, and they're going to take advantage of that, and it's going to be tough to beat them. I think they have a lot of attitude and spunk, Florida State, and somehow, you know, they manage to be there at the end of all these games, and they manage to win. They know how to win. So, yeah, it's a cop out, but I guess I'll take Oregon. But I don't think they're gonna. I don't think they're gonna cover the spread. I think it'll be a close game, back and forth. You know, like every other Florida State game has been this year. And I think, I'll go with Oregon finding a way to win by a field goal or something like that. But I wouldn't be shocked if Florida State won.
All right, so you have Oregon, but in a nail biter against Florida State. And, you know, there's definitely a lot of potential for that game. So let's now turn to Andy for your thoughts on the Rose Bowl and your prediction.
Yeah, prediction. I don't really have one. I'm going to take Florida State getting the points. But I don't really have the balls to say they'll win outright, unfortunately. I think they're going to cover, though. What's strange is when you have a team that's got a bullseye on its back, like, you know, the Patriots in 2007, they were winning all those games. You know, they got tight. They got tight towards the end. They were losing, you know, the games were getting a little close for comfort because it's pressure. It's pressure. It's pressure. Marshall. Before they lost to Western Kentucky, there was another game the week before, maybe 2 weeks before. John probably remembers the name of the team, but I think they were favored by like 27 or something. And I think they were down like 20 themselves before coming back and winning. It's like these teams that are trying to achieve very great things and surpass goals, they just get it's pressure. I mean, that's why Francesco, like, 3 years ago, was like, you know, Patriots should either, like, lose a game or something to just, you know, relieve some pressure. And we all know, you know, what happened there. And Florida State, they've won so many games in a row, and this year they've had the bullseye all year long. And they've been dreadful against the spread because they've been favored. And they've had to rely on second-half comebacks, whether it's Miami game, whether it's a Louisville game, whether it's, like, BC, whether it's the first game against Oklahoma State. You know, even against Georgia Tech, Georgia Tech was hanging around. I mean, obviously Georgia Tech backdoor, but every game's been, you know, a virtual nail-biter. Now that they're in the big fucking game, I feel like they could be like a phoenix, rise carefree. And they're getting all these points now, you know? I feel like they'll be loosey-goosey, where 99% of the time it's a Cardwell-tight situation. Oregon, I feel they'll be Cardwell-tight. And Rusty, the combination of the two. Remember that Auburn game a couple years ago? Auburn.
Oh, my goodness,
in
yeah.
Oregon. In Oregon, it's not like their offense was atrocious. It just wasn't the offense that all of us were used to seeing week in and week out in the Pac-12. And, you know, when Oregon's not explosive, they can be had and look vulnerable. And I just think Florida State is going to it's just like bizarro Florida State in this game. They're the bullseye is still going to be there, but it's like this is all like we've already achieved. Like we're here. Like all season long, we're trying to get to this spot. Now that we're at this spot, let it loose. Just let it loose. And I think that's what they'll do.
And you know, our friend Yachts or John from Greenwich, Connecticut, has recently embraced the new hashtag embrace the Noles. His opinion is, hey, listen, you know, we can talk about how they've been underplaying these games and had to come back and all that. They keep on winning, and as long as they keep on winning, they're the team to beat, and that's his opinion on them. He's big on the Noles, and I think Old Man is too. So I tend to side more towards your point of view on that one, Andy, in that I think they have a real chance here, and you know, until someone beats them, they're the team to beat. So we'll see. All right, once again, John, you have the option of breaking the tie. So who are you picking in this one?
Oh, man. I kind of agree with Andy's thought that I'm not sure I have the balls to pick Florida State outright. But I certainly think this is going to be a close game. I just kind of like my Georgia Tech pick. You know, for our conference Bulls, I guess I probably will go with Florida State because it makes more sense to root against yourself in that scenario. I do think, you know, he's absolutely right. When you go from the, you know, being hunted all year, to now you're the one with the chip on your shoulder and really underdog, I think it's just going to be a huge, you know, monkey off their back, especially for Jameis Winston, who's just started miserably in these games and has somehow pulled it out of the fire every single week. And I do think the coaching edge is pretty huge here. I'm not a big fan of Helfrich. Despite, you know, he's had a couple good seasons, they always just seem to drop a game if they shouldn't, and it didn't cost him this year, but last year it didn't. I just think Jimbo Fisher can outsmart him on the game, and I think it'll be coming right down to the end, and you know, if the chips fall, they may. But I definitely think Florida State will cover the spread. I guess, you know what, I'll go with Florida State for the upset.
Alright, I like it.
You know, give me James. Yeah, I won't pull any punches here. We'll go with Florida State to win, like 34-31. Should be a really good game. But once we can say Mike did call it, that this was the matchup on for the Rose Bowl.
This is going to be fun. I am open to that outcome, too. I think Florida State's going to definitely be in the running to win this game. But we'll see. I mean, stranger things have happened. Stranger birds have flown. But I see no reason for them not to compete here, so I'm excited about it. It should be fun. I expect a close game, if nothing else. All right, so last bowl to cover in our New Year's Six, and then we'll do some championship predictions after. Bama, Ohio State. We need not say more about these two teams. Much has been said about them already. So I will give it to Andy in Seattle to give us the rundown on Alabama and Ohio State in the Sugar Bowl. Your thoughts?
They'll be quick. We almost like talked about this last podcast too. anti Big Ten, anti Urban Meyer, anti third string quarterback, anti everything Ohio State right now. Urban Meyer loves to have his cake either too. He was a Florida head coach, and when he was a Florida head coach, he would be like, "LOL, Big Ten, LOL, Ohio State," and you know, SEC speed is better than the brute physical Big Ten, but now that he's a coach in the Big Ten, I never said it. Show me the tape. I never said that, and he's still a good coach. I will say that, but he's tough to take. And Alabama, I don't know, Saban's no saint either. He's not innocent. He gets players that, you know. Like our, like they say, if you're a houseplant that you can play football, then we've got a spot for you in Alabama. And I just, I think Ohio State, you know, the opposite of Florida State, where it's like, woo, we're here, we can just let loose. Now Ohio State might have like, oh my God, there's so many people don't think we belong. Like we have to prove that we belong. And I think third string quarterback, you know. Maybe he's better than what Urban Meyer like originally said he was, and didn't let him, you know, let loose and you know scale back the playbook or whatever. But you know, he's human. He might try to force the issue because You know, that's what third-string quarterbacks might do. I just feel Alabama, too much firepower. Like, they could just essentially just throw the ball, just a wide receiver screen to Amari Cooper every three times and, you know, just think, get enough yardage. If that doesn't help, they got, you know, two formidable running backs now. And their defense just is, you know, maybe, quote-unquote, not vintage Alabama defense, but, you know, Ohio State is not, you know, they're not an offensive juggernaut. I mean, maybe they are in the Big Ten, but out of all the other teams that we've discussed tonight, I wouldn't put Ohio State up there in terms of offense. I just, you know, Alabama, you know, Nick Saban is, you know, there's a reason why he's associated with Bill Belichick, right? He's known for all these sorts of confusing schemes to exploit the weaknesses of mediocre, inexperienced players. And I think he'll have a pretty good game plan to try to stop the Ohio State, you know, offense and, you know, get them to do something stupid. And, you know, I could see Alabama getting set up with situations, short fields, easy points, ho-hum game when all said and done, I think.
All right, so Andy big on Alabama, pretty big on Alabama, at least significantly big on Alabama, so for good reason. Let's now go to John for your thoughts on the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, I think I said it last week. I thought Ohio State was kind of a fool's gold scenario, so make it quick. I agree with Andy. I think this will be a pretty convincing win for Bama. Say like 35 to 17. I don't think it'll be much of a game at all.
All right. So now to Ron for your thoughts and your prediction on the Sugar Bowl, Bama, Ohio State.
Yeah, I agree with Andy and John. I like Alabama. I actually think Ohio State can keep it close for maybe a half, but Alabama will pull away. And you know, one thing about Lane Kiffin, and I'm one of the biggest anti-Lane Kiffin guys. He's done a great job in knowing the limits of that offense, and he's done an amazing job calling plays to get the ball to Amari Cooper, who I think he's been my favorite player to watch this year. So, and you look at Ohio State's schedule, they haven't played anybody with a wide receiver close to Amari Cooper. So I think as long as Kiffin keeps the game plan that he's been using all year and gets the ball into his hands, I think Alabama will pull away and win it pretty easily.
All right, so that's the word on the Sugar Bowl. So we have our college football playoff bowls in the books for as far as predictions and previews. Now let's just get your thoughts on who you think the national championship winner is going to be. And you're welcome to predict the game, too, but you can kind of sense it anyway just from our earlier previews. So let me start with John. Who do you think is going to win the college football national championship this year?
Well, I think I picked Florida State and Alabama, so if that's the matchup, I guess I'll go with Alabama.
All right. Andy, your thoughts? Who wins the championship?
Although Alabama, I think Florida State would be the tougher matchup, truth be told. Alabama's weakness is in their defense. For whatever reason, it's like, I don't know if their corners never played, you know, up for grabs as a kid, but like the biggest plays the Alabama defense gives up is when the quarterback just chucks it up for grabs. And not like, they don't get penalties like, you know, how Flacco kind of does when he throws it for the Ravens. But both Auburn and in Missouri probably had like five plays each between the two of them where they just chucked it up and just big plays. Thing is, Oregon doesn't do that, but Florida State could. So I think they would be more prone for the big passing plays against Florida State, which would hurt them. But when all said and done, I think Alabama is doing the dance.
All right, I like it. So, I mean, our resident Alabama expert checks in on the bowl season. It's always good to hear from you on Bama. You would know it more than either of us would, I would think. So now let's bring it to Let's see, I did Ron, and I did John. Yeah, I did John and Andy. Let's bring it to Ron. Your thoughts. Who's going to win the national championship?
Well, I guess I'll be the contrarian and throw something out there. I picked Oregon and Alabama, so we'll go out on a limb and say Oregon finishes the job finally, you know, after, basically about a decade of coming up short.
Yeah.
You know, Mariota runs into the sunset on top, and, you know, I'll go with that, you know. I definitely could see Alabama winning. I think that's a logical choice, but I'll try to be different. I'll say Oregon.
All right, terrific. So you have Oregon. The other two have Alabama. If it is Oregon against Alabama, for good, finally we get that matchup. Everyone's been talking about it for 5 years. That would be really fun if that really happened, but time will tell. So that's it for the bowl preview. We have about 14 minutes left. I think we have enough time to do the Kids Club picks, which tonight includes 4 bowl picks. We already covered most of them in depth, so anything left over, we can cover those too. And then we'll do 2 NFL picks. So rather than waste time chatting about it, the standings, just so you know, Otis is in first place, 32-25-3. Andy's in second at 32-25-3 also. John's in third, 29-30-1. Ron's in fourth, 25-31-4. And again, 6 total picks this week, 4 bowls, 2 NFL. Let's do it. I'll invite Oatman to come join us on the podcast too, but we'll start with Andy. Andy, let's hear your 4 bowl predictions, your 4 bowl picks, and your 2 NFL picks. Kids Club, all yours.
All right, thanks. Rapid fire. Game number 1, Rice, -2, Fresno State in that Christmas Eve bowl. Going against history here, Fresno State laying eggs 2 Christmas Eves in a row. Why not make it 3? Give me Rice, game number 1. Game number 2, I will take Duke getting 8 from Todd Graham. Put the money where the mouth is with the "I hate Todd Graham in bowl games" theory. I will take Duke. I know they've had ups and downs this year, and, you know, on paper, Arizona State's much better in all phases of the game, but I think the letdown factor will be a big factor. So game number 2 will be Duke. Game number 3, we will take Alabama giving 9.5. We talked about this game already. Nothing else to be said. Put the money where the mouth is. I don't think Ohio State belongs in this quartet of teams. And game number 4, digging deep here. We will take Southern California giving 6.5 to Nebraska. Why? Nebraska just doesn't have a coach, and I'll take USC. They've had a pretty good season. Obviously, they lack the recognition they usually get year in and year out. Even sometimes, last year they were getting recognition because of the clown car that was the Lane Kiffin era. But this year they were kind of under the radar, you know, after they lost to Stanford, I think their season kind of blew up or whatever. So, actually, I don't know. They might have beat Stanford. Either way, their season was kind of under the radar. I think they'll be able to take care of business against Nebraska. So those are my 4 picks. I basically didn't know who to take until now. I'm just winging it. NFL, I will – oh, where are the lines? Going Jim here. game number 1, sign me up for – I'll take the Patriots giving 10. I know sometimes Rex Ryan can match up well with New England. New England, they always usually play close games, but I mean, at this point, you would think the Jets would do anything in their power to kind of lay eggs here. So the Patriots have an eye on the prize. I mean, they still need to win out here because, you know, they have the same record as Denver. So they got to basically keep up the pace here, and no love lost between those two teams. I know the two-point game block field goal was in New England, but I know a lot has changed since the middle of October. So I will take the Patriots. This is LOL Jets, LOL Jet kind of play here. And game number two, sign me up for Denver. And I was like, why are you rooting for Denver? Because I hate Cincinnati so much. And Denver is playing a Monday night game at Cincinnati. They're giving three. I don't think we've had a good Monday night game in like a year. So I kind of am interested for this game because it's a Monday night and a decent game. Manning hasn't been Manning in a while, but, you know, this is a Cincinnati team that continues time and time and time and time and time again to lay eggs every single fucking time they're in prime time. So why would it be any different? This is Cincinnati. I know they're coming off a great, you know, beat down at the, you know, they beat the Browns and everything's hunky-dory for them again. No, because last week, the week before, they were miserable against Pittsburgh. And they played a deer in the headlights Manziel last week. So, you know, now you're playing Peyton Manning. And I think it'll be a little bit of a course correction, and we'll all be able to have a good laugh at the expense of primetime Marvin Lewis. So give me Denver for the second game.
That's a delicious pick. I think we're all getting pretty excited about the prospect of picking against the Bengals in prime time. It's a solid choice. Okay, so let's go to John in Connecticut for his picks. Four college bowls, four NFL. Take it away.
All right, Dave, we'll go rapid fire here. First, we'll take San Diego State -3 over Navy. Two stats you need to know about this game. San Diego State is 8-0 against service academies in their last eight games they've played, and they're undefeated at home this year. I think their running game will overwhelm Navy, and they win this one. So San Diego State -3 in the Poinsettia Bowl. Game two, feels like a trap, but we'll fall in. We'll go Cincinnati -3 over Virginia Tech in that Military Bowl. Virginia Tech has a good defense, but I just don't see any way that they'll score enough points to keep up with Gunnar Kiel, anti-Beamer pick. So Cincinnati -3 in the Military Bowl. We'll go checker on a checker, and we'll go Duke +8, just like Andy, against Arizona State in that Sun Bowl. Pretty much an anti-Todd Graham pick. Duke's been really close the last couple of years in their bowl games, and I think they have a good chance at winning this one. If not, it'll be a really close game. And finally, for the fourth game, we'll go with Minnesota +5.5 in that Citrus Bowl. This is their first New Year's Bowl game since 1960. You know they want to be there. They're very well coached with Kill, and I actually think they win this game outright over a Mizzou team who you really just don't know which one you're going to get, especially if Mock is having an off day. So give me Minnesota +5.5 for the fourth bowl game. And that'll transition us right into the NFL, where I will take the Minnesota version of the NFL franchise, the Vikings, getting 7 down in Miami. I think Miami, again, is having a late season swoon over with Will Philbin. I think he's going to get canned, and I just can't see the players playing for him at this point once the title hopes were essentially dashed last week against the Patriots. The Vikings have played hard all year, and they're getting valuable experience for Bridgewater. Should have won against the Lions last week. Easily could have beaten Green Bay a couple weeks ago. Even if they don't win, it's going to be a close game. I actually do think they can get the upset, but give me 7 points all day. So Vikings +7. And then I hardly ever take my team, but Green Bay -10.5 at Tampa. If they don't take out all their anger, Rodgers and Jordy Nelson have just been picking themselves all week, especially Nelson for that missed pass. But Rodgers, too, that was literally the worst game of his career. That is not going to happen again. Bucks are playing for the number one pick, which means we'll provide little to no resistance here. 38-13 Green Bay. Those are my picks for the upcoming weeks, Dave.
All right, there we are. So 6 picks to round out our contest. Now let's go to Ron for his picks. And if we have time, we'll bring in the Oatman. He's not on the line, though, so probably just going to get him by text. But let's go to Ron for your 4 college and 2 pro picks.
Okay.
first bowl game I'll take is Northern Illinois +10 against Marshall. The rest of the games are going to be an SEC trio. I'm going to take Texas A&M +3.5 against West Virginia. I think A&M is underrated in that game. I think someone will have them coming out flying. I'll take, we discussed it, you know, in depth. I'll take LSU -7 over Notre Dame. I think they'll shut Notre Dame down and win big. And the last game, I'll take Auburn -6.5 over Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin's a one-trick pony. And, you know, I'll take Malzahn over Barry Alvarez any day of the week. So those are the four bowl games. And in the NFL, I'll go checker on the checker with John. I like Minnesota +7. And in my other game, I'll take Detroit -7 over the Bears, who have just disintegrated. And, you know, people are the heads will roll there. So I like Detroit -7 in a big spot against Chicago. And those are my picks.
Ron, thank you very much. And that goes to the rest of you as well. Thank you very much for your picks. Good luck to all of them. And also to the Oatman's picks, which will eventually reach us. Yeah, probably by text. We've got to wrap this up at this point. We're running out of time. This has really been a lot of fun, and I really appreciate you guys taking both hours to spend some time with us to break it all down. This will be a great bowl season. Enjoy all of the games, and good luck to all your pools, your confidence pools. Andy, you had like a giant, enormous pool that you had referenced on the board. Like something for money or something like that of that nature?
It started out as a survivor pool, just like any other survivor pool, but with college. And yet, you trim a lot of fat, right? So, but there's still a lot of people left because it's a survivor in college. It's a lot easier than the NFL. And then those that are surviving after the, you know, 2 weeks ago, and it just turns into a bowl pick'em contest with the point spreads.
Nice.
So yeah, but hopefully we can all have some fun with it.
All right. Well, good luck, everyone.
Bowl challenges.
Absolutely. And one other thing, I just want to thank you guys for being with me the whole season for Kids Club Picks. This is really fun, and congratulations to the eventual winner. It's really been a lot of fun. It added so much juice to the show, and it really means a lot taking time out every week to come on. And it's been a good time, and I just want to wish you guys the season's greetings, a happy Hanukkah, and a Merry Christmas to all of you. Well, that's it for me. I mean, any final thoughts from any of you before we take off for the year? No? Okay.
Just the moment of silence. I hope everyone has a happy holidays.
Thanks very much, guys. It's really been a blast. So, Ron, I mean, really, your expertise, Andy, your expertise, John, you've been really great. It's just a great culmination. Ron, sending the best to you and your family. John, may the best to you as well and your family. I hope you guys enjoy it. That's all I have. Fellas, take it easy. Good luck again. We will announce the winner of all of this in January. So enjoy. All right. Well, I'll see you guys around.
All right, fun today.
Take it easy, guys.
All right, fellas. Thanks so much. Take it easy.
90 seconds.
All right. That's it.
Good luck, everyone.
Good luck. Yeah, I second that. Good luck, all. That's it for the show. So thank you very much. Wish I had a longer set it off, but you know, this is really a lot of fun. The Kids Club was just phenomenal all year. Sorry we couldn't hear from the Oatman, but we will eventually see his picks and we'll see the winner. Hopefully we'll invite them in on that first January show. But for now, Dave Medina, inviting you to stay tuned tomorrow on our feed.
60 seconds.
For Dave in the City, we will wrap it up with our friend Kevin on the Cape and the 2-hour random questions. Be there. Till then, we'll see you next time.